He remembered dreaming. It is vital to know how many Earths the fist knocked out. If we have a measure of that, we can hazard a guess at the chances of a fist strike, and the two figures might give us an idea of the numbers of the Earth. Of course, Melania says it will simply be the circumference of a great circle. But he was wrong to think we simply come back to our starting point. If we go far enough, we should meet ourselves halfway. He remembered waking. He was white with frost, but his ankle glowed white hot. Overhead, a few early stars were out, and they wheeled around him as he pulled himself upright against the boulder, and then, with a last effort, stood up.
"Were you trying to walk home?"
The words filtered through the warm white fuzz in his head as he woke. The pain was gone. He could feel the shape that it had left. Valiente was sitting by the open flap of the tent, and the maps had been pushed aside to make room for batteries. Lindsay felt a weight on his chest. There was a pistol there. Valiente caught the movement.
"It's loaded," he said. "I didn't want you to feel in any way beholden."
"What's all this stuff? I found it in the shed."
Lindsay's lips were swollen, but he managed.
"Biltong," he said.
"You mean like jerked meat?"
"Yeah."
"Right. It's light, nutritious. We'll take it. We leave the guns."
"What?"
"Too heavy."
Valiente's fingers flew over the paper-thin calculator. "We'll get to forward in maybe 7 days if we waste charge. There's all kinds of medical stuff there. Perhaps I'll have to learn surgery. Don't worry, I probably won't, I think. If we don't waste time, and time's speed, and speed is lightness, so we'll take jerky and sugar for a few days and pick up water as we go, and then just forage. Then later, I reckon, if we pick up every battery there and demount the little solar charger, plus get a kick from their generator, we should be back in the low numbers in 3 months." He paused, shielded the display from the rising light.
13 weeks, in fact. But we can take it easy.
We'll have to anyway, 'cause there'll be a lot of hanging around waiting for the cells to recharge.
Did you aim to miss, or just miss anyway?
I've got to know.
There was silence.
"I couldn't be sure," said Lindsay.
"If I'd aimed to hit, I would have hit. I had to see what would happen next."
"What happened next?"
Lindsay sat up, ignoring the slight wave of nausea.
"She's dead. About 24 jumps up ahead, there isn't any earth. She didn't expect it. The kind of belts you've got will always flip you through, provided there's nothing in the way." There was nothing in the way.
"You were there?"
"Briefly. The human skin is quite a good spacesuit."
"But she wouldn't have expected it."
"No."
"She deserved it."
There was the barest click. Lindsay looked up. Valiente looked around. She was standing just inside the stockade gateway, with the rifle raised. There was blood on her face. Lindsay tried to calculate how many shots would be left. Maybe only one.
"Touch the pistol, and I'll blow your head off," she said, and the words croaked through a tortured throat. "I came the long way round. Did you know the gap is only one world wide? I had to cross it twice."
Beyond the gate, the long yellow grass swayed gently. Big Yin's muzzle rose like the dawn of man. Lindsay's face must have shown it, because Shear's gaze flickered uncertainly. But the moment of hesitation was too long, because the baboon was already out and leaping. She turned then, but he was inside the rifle's radius, paws open to tear and rip. Lindsay swept the pistol up and sighted carefully, ignoring the dual screaming. The red jumpsuit and the dusty grey shape danced in front of his sight, but he didn't squeeze the trigger until he was certain. As the echo died away, he thought, "If I have any influence back there, like he says, if the people think they owe me anything, then I'll have this world declared off-limits. Let the baboons try."
It was moonlight. The camp was long deserted, but the fire was still burning, and threw a circle of light around the open stockade.
grey bodies huddled as far from it as they could, afraid to go any closer, despite the growls of their leader. He sat near it, watching, and the light in his eyes was a tiny circle of firelight.